You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 482.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Aloha. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. There's nothing happening here. I've done nothing. I've gone nowhere and done nothing since we last spoke.
Oh, same. We're going to make a really interesting podcast.
Isn't it exciting for the listeners to hear how we just stay home all the time?
I am sure that they revel in every minute of it.
This show has been absolutely riveting for the past year and a half. I actually have travel plans coming up very soon, so that might change, but we'll see. That's for another time. For now, we're home, and it's the backs of life this week. But before we get to the backs of life, Cornflake, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
This took some work, Kevin, but I managed to find a celebrity who was having a birthday who has at least a loose tie to the facts of life. Since we are having a Backs of Life episode today, having her 70th birthday on August 5th is Chip Fields, as in Laverne Chip Fields. Ring a bell at all?
Not at all. No, Laverne Chip Fields. Huh. Any relation to Kim Fields?
Only Kim Fields' mom.
Oh, her mom is only 70.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she had Kim rather young then. Okay.
She also, in her own right, she had a role in television. Actually, she's had a couple of roles on television. For our purposes, though, we'd look back at Good Times.
Oh.
She was in a 4-part episode playing the mother of Penny Gordon Woods, who, of course, was played by Janet Jackson.
Oh, wow.
She's also briefly in the Ronettes, but not while they were very popular.
Well, that's rather impressive, nevertheless.
It's true. I've never been a Ronette myself, so
not yet. Someday, you and I. That's one little dream we have not given up on yet, I'm happy to say. We consider this podcast a stepping stone to our both becoming official Ronettes. But no, that's some fantastic trivia there, Cornflake. I knew nothing about Kim Fields' mother, so this is all new to me. So she acted, she was on Good Times, and she was Janet Jackson's mother on Good Times, which is crazy because Janet Jackson then, after Good Times, she was also on Different Strokes as Charlene, Willis's girlfriend, and Different Strokes is in the same, you know, television universe as The Facts of Life.
Right. Crazy, isn't it?
My head's about to explode. Yeah, I can't take this kind of...
Well, that's what you pay me the big bucks for.
Yeah.
When it comes to National Whatever Day is to do that deep investigative work and find out that somebody like Chip Fields is having a milestone birthday.
This is the kind of investigative journalism that most shows shy away from. They don't need this kind of controversy scaring away advertisers, you know, but we don't care.
We're happy to let the world know.
Nobody advertises on the Flopcast for several reasons.
A whole bunch of several reasons.
Yes. Oh, yes. There's our controversial Fields family reports.
Yes.
And then there's also the fact that we have no listeners.
That could also be a reason why, yes.
All right. Well, that's a good one then. Yeah, I knew nothing about Kim's family, but sure. Happy birthday to Kim's mom.
Laverne Chip Fields.
What a name. Laverne Chip Fields. We thought Tootie was a silly name. Well, her mother is Laverne Chip Fields.
I love that.
Also, I think we've mentioned this before, but I always wondered about how on the show she's Dorothy Tootie Ramsey. And over on Different Strokes, which was, you know, connected to Facts of Life, Arnold's friend Dudley, his family name was also Ramsey. He was Dudley Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they ever established any, you know, connection between Tootie and Dudley.
I think you're right about that.
Remember when we were known as Tootie and Dudley? We had that wacky morning zoo radio show?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a disaster.
I remember I used to roller skate into the studio.
Well, Cornflake, thanks for finding a fascinating Facts of Life related trivia for us for a National Whatever Day. Nicely done.
That's just me. I'm a giver.
This segues beautifully into our ongoing segment for the year, The Backs of Life.
Here we go.
So The Backs of Life, of course, is we are looking at every backdoor pilot episode of The Facts of Life. They did a bunch of backdoor pilots. They kept trying to spin off shows out of The Facts of Life, and it never worked, but they kept on trying as the years went by. This is episode 9 of season 4, The Big Fight.
Yeah. In most cases, it seems the spin-off attempts were one-offs.
Yeah, did you notice something a little familiar about this one?
Yeah.
I didn't tell you I knew what was coming, but I didn't tell you. I thought this would be a nice surprise for you when you looked up this episode.
Yeah. These are the characters from the Academy. Are they really giving this a go again?
Yeah, you know, we're kind of flashing back now to 2 backdoor pilots ago. We covered this on Backs of Life, episode 3. Was the Academy, and that was a spinoff. The concept was it was a boys' military academy located close to the Eastland School for Girls. That is the setting of Facts of Life. And this was the previous season they did this in the backdoor pilot episode called The Academy. We covered it a few weeks ago. Then they did a whole other backdoor pilot, Joe's Cousin. Now we're into season 4. And they tried again. They went back to the Academy. They said, let's give those kids another shot. They tried to launch the same show again.
I mean, why?
They really wanted this thing to go. Somebody at NBC believed in the Academy. So this episode is titled The Big Fight. Although on my DVD set of Facts of Life, it's called The Academy 2, a.k.a. The Big Fight. This episode was shown on NBC on December 8th, 1982.
I just can't believe they gave it another whirl, but here we are.
We're back at the Academy. I assumed you'd be very excited about this because you really liked this one, as I recall.
I really liked the first try. And I mean, I wasn't disappointed to see these characters again, but I felt like this episode was a bit of a rougher go than the first one.
Interesting. Well, let's get into it. So we start with, and we're not going to do a deep dive into the biographies of all the actors that we've already covered on the previous Academy backdoor pilot, so we can move along. But we're starting with Alfred, who's kind of the nerdy kid played by John Navin. He's on the phone and he's calling Natalie, you know, Mindy Cohn back at Eastland. So this is oftentimes with these backdoor pilots, we get a quick flash of the actual Facts of Life set and the whole cast. Then we jump into a whole new location, and that's what we get again here. It's Alfred. He's on the phone. Alfred's going to enter a boxing tournament at the Academy, and he invites Natalie to come to his fight.
Natalie, who he fancies as his girl.
Yeah, since they had that one awkward date for the stupid formal dance. So yeah, Alfred wants Natalie to come back and watch him, in all likelihood, get beaten to a pulp.
Get pulverized.
Yeah, that's his plan. And there he is on the phone, and he's in that goofy cadet uniform with like the big, it looks like Christmas ornaments are hanging off of him, you know, those big gold ball things.
Yeah, it really does.
Now we cut to it's morning and they're back in their dorm room. And here's the whole gang again. These are all the kids that we saw in the previous backdoor pilot because we've got the big, tall, obnoxious one with the bugle waking everybody up. But there's Chip, there's Hank, there's Buzz, you know, played by Jimmy Bayo. And of course, there's Alfred. And they're talking about how Alfred is indeed planning to enter the boxing tournament, which really seems crazy because look at him.
Yeah, I know.
But then they look at the list of guys that are in his weight class and they think, oh, these guys are even bigger loser nerds than Alfred. He could probably win.
Right.
Then they launch a scheme to, you know, place a bunch of bets and make him the underdog. Alfred is doing all his training right there in their dorm room so that no one sees what a fantastic boxer he's going to turn into, theoretically. He's reading a book called Learn to Box.
Because that's how everybody learns.
Yeah, that's how that works, right? You know, isn't that what Rocky did? Burgess Meredith wasn't chasing him around yelling at him. No, he just read a book. That's all you need. I liked that at one point when they're reminding him how he's kind of a little wimpy loser, and one of them said, yeah, we found your Mighty Mouse nightlight. And I liked that because suddenly I really wanted a Mighty Mouse nightlight.
Yeah, you know? It actually sounded like a cool.
Yeah. Then I wondered, is there a Mighty Mouse nightlight? So I went on eBay like an hour ago.
Okay.
I punched a Mighty Mouse nightlight into eBay. Nothing.
Yeah.
So I was a little disappointed that we cannot order our own Mighty Mouse nightlight. But there you go. Evidently, Alfred had one. But he's doing his training. Then they bring him food. Part of their strategy is to fill him with Big Macs and spaghetti. They think you got to carb up for your fight. That's his training regimen. He has a book and he has a Big Mac. What more do you need? Now we're in the school gymnasium area, I think, getting ready for the big tournament. Here's Major Dorsey. He's like the Mrs. Garrett, essentially, of Stone Academy.
I like him.
Yeah, same guy that we met in the previous backdoor pilot. He's there again. And now a new player emerges because somebody at the network must have thought, you know what we were missing last time? You know why this didn't work? We need a hot nurse.
Oh, yeah.
She was new. Lieutenant Barbara Barton. She's the school nurse, evidently. I looked her up. She was played by Barbara Stock. A lovely woman. She didn't look familiar to me, but she was in a million things. I must have seen her over the years because she popped up in all kinds of fun shows through the 80s and into the 90s. She did Chips. She did Bring 'Em Back Alive, T.J. Hooker, Fantasy Island. She was on the A-Team. She was on Otherworld. You know, my favorite, that weird show Otherworld. And she even did a Seinfeld going into the 90s, so tons of stuff. Her big credit, though, is she was a regular on Spencer for Hire.
Uh-huh.
So that means she spent a lot of time around here. She would have worked in Boston because, you know, Spencer for Hire, the detective show, they actually filmed in Boston.
I see.
But here she is just as the nurse. And now we meet Alfred's opponent, a kid named Grusky.
I loved Grusky.
Here comes Grusky, and this guy must have looked familiar to you, Cornflake, because this guy
was
everywhere, all over the 80s, well, 70s and 80s. But this is 80s super nerd Eddie Deason. I think maybe one of his first things was in Grease.
Yeah, he was Eugene.
Eugene in Grease. And I've never seen Grease, but he was in Grease and Grease 2, and just immediately got that reputation coming out of Grease. I think he's your go-to guy to be kind of a goofy nerd. Because, man, he had that look. He had that voice. He was perfect to be an 80s nerd. And Eddie was in, Midnight Madness. He was in Zapped. Maybe the first time I really noticed him was in War Games. And this was interesting, too, though, Cornflake. When I looked him up today, one of the early examples of that classic nerd in a movie was in Meatballs. Remember Spaz, the kid in Meatballs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the counselors in training, and he had the glasses and you know, scrawny, goofy, nerdy, geeky kid. That part was offered to Eddie Deason, and he turned it down. But that was interesting, because that was such an Eddie Deason part, and it's like, oh, that makes sense then. It was supposed to be Eddie Deason.
Yeah, it's probably written for him.
Yeah. And I know I heard Eddie on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast a couple of years ago, and he said everybody always assumes that he was in Revenge of the Nerds, and he was not.
I was going to say, I don't think he was.
It seems crazy that he wasn't.
Yeah, it's a conspicuous absence.
Yeah, but so many nerd parts over the years, especially through the 80s. Since then, he's done mostly voice acting, because obviously, you know, he has that great, crazy, cartoony voice and has done lots of voice acting, lots of cartoons. Anyway, so fun to see Eddie Deason here. And this is the guy that Alfred can beat no problem in the boxing tournament. Except now they have a problem. Because he was filling up on all those Big Macs and spaghetti, he went into a different weight class. He was supposed to compete as a lightweight. They weigh him at the weigh-in. It turns out suddenly he's a welterweight. So Alfred cannot fight with Deason, unfortunately. And now he meets the guy he has to fight. And now, of course, you know, get ready for the wacky comedy. Now he has to fight this big, scary, muscular guy named Mongo Moran, who looks like a professional boxer, you know.
And he has no neck.
Well, I looked up this kid on IMDb, because what else did he ever do? And the answer is nothing. This is literally his only credit on IMDb. Maybe he was a real boxer. You know, it sounds like they might have just gone out and found themselves a boxer. So now Alfred's in trouble. It's not going to be nerd versus nerd anymore. It's going to be nerd versus, you know, scary Mongo boxer dude. Meanwhile, Alfred's father is on the phone.
Right.
Alfred's father, who's a general, he's on the phone looking to talk to Major Dorsey. And a cadet pops into the doorway and only has four lines. He says, "Major Dorsey, telephone call." That's all we see of him. But did you notice who that was?
No. Who was that?
That was Crispin Glover.
Oh.
Very early role for Crispin Glover. One of his first credits.
Yeah.
And Crispin Glover, of course, you know, was in tons of movies through the 80s and beyond up to this day. Probably most famously, George McFly, Marty's father in Back to the Future.
Everyone has to start somewhere, I guess.
He started in a backdoor pilot for The Facts of Life. That was Crispin Glover. Now Natalie shows up.
And everyone cheers because finally we have a character from The Facts of Life.
Here's an actual Facts of Life girl because, oh, that's right. This was supposed to be The Facts of Life. And yeah, everybody does cheer. I noticed right away that she gets the audience applause as she comes in, which is weird. Because normally on a sitcom, if the audience is going to clap for somebody, it's the first time we see them.
Right.
That they get the applause. Now, we saw Natalie at the beginning of the episode, you know?
Earlier in the show, yeah.
Yeah, but I realized what happened. I'm guessing that the studio audience for the main Academy part of the show didn't even see that opening scene. Or if they did, they watched it on a monitor.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm guessing that that opening scene at Eastland was filmed separately, probably while they were shooting a whole different Facts of Life episode.
Wow, good point.
And so, yeah, this studio audience, they were seeing Mindy Cohn for the first time when she came into the gym. And thus, she got the Fonzie-style audience applause. That was fun.
Which I think she deserves whenever she appears, honestly. So it was good to see her get it.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice because you don't get that on The Facts of Life.
Right.
The Facts of Life girls who are there every week don't get a big audience applause break every time they burst through a door like Richie Cunningham. So yeah, that was fun. Natalie and Alfred have a little conversation about how he's about to get beaten to death by Mongo. Alfred's not going to chicken out, he announces. Now we cut to the tournament is underway, and it's just a smash cut to Eddie Deason's fight has just ended. So we don't see what I assume was a spectacular knockout punch. We just see two guys are carrying Eddie Deason out of the ring. And so it happened that on December 8th, 1982, all of America was subjected to topless Eddie Deason. Because that was something I could have lived without. Not exactly a boxer's physique.
So true.
But that's what we got. You know what I noticed, though, as Eddie was being dragged out of the ring? Not that I'm expecting a lot of realism out of The Facts of Life.
Right.
But I was struck by the fact that what was missing from this high school boxing tournament was headgear.
Oh, yeah, good point.
These kids had no head protection. And that's just insane. But I'm guessing that was just a creative decision, you know, is that we want to see the actors' stupid faces. And so no headgear, but come on.
Even at a military academy.
And, you know, I also thought about just last week we were talking about the Greatest American Hero pilot episode. And we didn't even mention there was a high school boxing match in the middle of that episode.
Yeah.
Or high school student versus teacher boxing match.
Taking on the teach, yep.
Because even less realistic than receiving a superpowered costume from aliens, the high school teacher having a boxing match with his problem student.
Yeah, that was weird.
To settle things in the ring. Yeah, that was a little strange. But notice, they were wearing headgear on Greatest American Hero.
Thought they were.
They got that part right, at least. Anyway, the other kids are getting Alfred ready to go get in the fight. And I like the advice that they were giving him when they said, stay away from his right and also don't get near his left. All right, so Alfred gets in the ring with Mongo, shows that he's not a chicken.
But he also shows that he's not a fighter.
Well, and yeah.
It is comical.
Yeah, gets in a couple of shots, which have zero effect on Mongo. And then, of course, Mongo just eventually says, all right, that's enough of that. Delivers the knockout punch, and it's over, and fine. So he got through it. Everybody's fine. I just want John Navin to put his shirt back on.
Right.
Because not unlike Eddie Deason. Also not a boxer's physique. But there you go. That was the big fight. Well, now, Cornflake, the time has come.
Oh, yeah, it's rating time.
We have to rate this episode. And every backdoor pilot episode of Facts of Life, of course, we rate on our patented 2D scale. How many tooties, Cornflake, are you going to give the big fight episode? On a scale of 1 to 10 tooties, what are you doing?
Give me a moment here.
Take all the time you need. This is a very important decision.
Well, yeah, I thought I would like this episode better when I saw we were going back to the Academy, because I was really excited on the first go around with the Backs of Life when the Academy turned up because of my love for Combat Academy and the similarities.
Yeah, your all-time favorite movie, bizarrely, is that 1986 made-for-TV goofy comedy, which is also set at a military academy, Combat Academy.
Yeah, there's certainly some parallels.
You love it.
And also, this episode did have Gresky, but I wasn't bowled over by the plot line and by seeing these guys again. So I almost gave this episode 4 tooties. But then I remember David Rayner is in it. Of course, he's one of the guys. He's Chip. And he's also in Combat Academy. And since he's back, I have to give it 5 tooties.
Well, that's solid logic. I get that. For me, this may come as a surprise, Cornflake, but I'm going way higher than you.
Really?
I don't know what got into me, but I really like...
You really liked this one, huh?
Yeah, I preferred this one to the first Academy backdoor pilot. I think they had their act a little more together this time.
That's fair.
And so I think I'm going to go as high as 8 tooties.
Ooh, wow.
I think this is the strongest backdoor pilot that we've seen in the actual Facts of Life series thus far. I mean, the plot of the first Academy pilot with the dance was just so ridiculous.
That's why I loved it.
This time, I feel like they were getting close to something that could have actually worked as an actual spinoff series. They weren't quite there, but...
Closer than anything else.
Yeah, this is the first time I could actually feel the potential for an actual real show.
That's funny, because I felt that the first time we saw the Academy, and the second time seeing it, I was convinced, nope, this is never going to land.
And, I mean, they already had some pretty strong cast members to begin with, and especially John Navin was always great, Jimmy Bayo. Just between those two kids, I think you had the potential for a strong show. Adding the pretty nurse, probably not a bad idea, although she didn't really have much to do in this episode.
It's true.
And on top of that, putting Eddie Deason in this really ratchets it up a couple of notches. And then I wonder, if they had gone to series, would they have tried to get Eddie Deason to be a regular? Because he wasn't really part of the gang in this episode. You know, he wasn't in their dorm, that main crew of kids. If this was going to go to a series, I would think that they would have tried to get him back because, man, he almost stole this whole show, you know. He only had a handful of lines in this, but every time he's always hilarious, you know.
Yeah, he was funny.
Always delivered. And yeah, not a lot of Facts of Life girls compared to last time, but at least we got plenty of Natalie, especially towards the end. So maybe I'm being surprisingly generous with my tooties today, but, you know, why not? 8 tooties. To the big fight.
Hear, hear.
Who's going to stop me? There's the Backs of Life. And we're not done.
There are
a few more backdoor pilots to get through. We're going to try to get this done this year. But before you know it, sometime in the fall, we shall return to the Backs of Life. So anyway, meanwhile, this week, Cornflake, I have one quick plug that is for ESO Board Silly. Episode 16 is now available, and as we like to remind people each month, this is a monthly show, and it's the ESO Network Board of Directors, which is Mike and Scott and Mary and me. It's a Patreon exclusive, so if you support the ESO Network through the ESO Patreon, one of the perks is you get to hear the Board Silly podcast. And this one, Mike made the mistake of putting me in charge.
Oh, dear.
I hosted this episode, and we played a game. We played an 80s trivia game.
Well, that sounds kind of cool.
Yes, I got to switch into game show host mode, and I had 80s trivia questions for the rest of the board. If you want to find out who won, throw a couple of bucks at the ESO Network and tune in to ESO Board Silly Episode 16. Always a goofy, fun show. Speaking of goofy shows, that'd be the Flopcast. And Cornflake, let's wrap this one up right now.
Okay, let's do it. Well, dear listeners, find us between shows at flopcast.net, on facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter, our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. Over on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, Eddie Deason's least favorite band, by the way. He said that we were too nerdy. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for the Flopcast tonight. Everybody, thanks for making it through another Backs of Life episode. We appreciate it. And, you know, be safe, be kind, be goofy, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
Join us weekly as we journey into DC's infinite frontier.
We discuss DC news, comics, television shows, movies, and more.
Earth Station DCU is part of the ESO Network. Check us out where fine podcasts are found.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Dr. Geek here with another reminder that the ESO Network is pro-science and pro-vaccine. We urge you to be a superhero and protect yourself, your family, and your fellow geeks around the world. Don't be fooled by the forces of evil and their anti-science misinformation campaign. Consult the latest CDC guidelines, your doctor, and get the COVID vaccine today.
It's time for Chicago's annual funny music convention, Fump Fest. This year, we're celebrating Dr. Demento's 50th anniversary with special guest, radio legend Dr. Demento, appearing live and in person. Dr. Demento will be presenting his Festival of Dementia, signing autographs, and hosting the 11th annual Logan Whitehurst Memorial Awards for Excellence in Comedy Music. Fump Fest is taking place August 20th through 22nd at the Westin North Shore in Wheeling, Illinois, and will feature performances by Bill Larkin, Carla Ulbricht, Steve Goody, Bad Beth and Beyond, The Gothsicles, Ross Child, The Great Luke Ski, Worm Quartet, Insane Ian, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Carrie Dalby, Ian Lockwood, and a special appearance by Sulu from The Dr. Demento Show, plus demented karaoke, dumb parody ideas, the Fump Showcase, and more. Visit FumpFest.com to register and book your hotel room. That's FumpFest.com.
Sorry. Cornflake, this is the secret after show.
Look at that. Here we are.
You know what I thought we'd do for the secret after show this week?
What sounds good to you?
Exact same thing we did last week.
That's not a bad idea. I liked how things went last week.
Yeah, well, last week for the after show, we just ran through the top 10 songs from that week in 1981. This week, this is our 1982 episode, which we forgot to even mention during the main show. Oops. They'll figure it out. So we're not going to do this week in 1982. We're going to do the week that this Facts of Life episode came out in 1982. This is the week of December 8th, 1982. Top 10 songs. You ready?
Ready.
This is a goofy list. This is not as good a list as we had last week. I'm warning you right now.
Okay. Well, I mean, it would have been tough to top last week, but I'm ready for whatever you're going to throw at me. A
couple of good ones on it, but also some pretty stupid ones, including at number 10, Diana Ross with Muscles. This is such a stupid song. I've been advocating that Diana Ross should be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame solo. You know, she's in already as a Supreme, but I think that she should be in solo. However, then I look at the song Muscles, and I'm almost ready to take that back.
Everybody's allowed to have a moment.
Yeah.
And I guess Muscles was Diana Ross's moment.
Muscles is working against my argument to induct Diana. Number 9 is Rock This Town by the Stray Cats.
Good stuff.
That was their first big hit song, I believe. Yeah, it's pretty fun. You know, it's that goofy Stray Cat, old-fashioned rockabilly kind of stuff. Why not? Number 8 is Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing. Okay. Number 7... this one's pretty goofy. It's Don Henley, Dirty Laundry.
Oh, yeah. Kick them where it hurts. Kick them when they're down.
This is, you know, coming out of the Eagles, right? Eagles broke up. Here's Don Henley solo. And the kind of late 80s Don Henley, mid to late 80s, was the kind of serious elder statesman Don Henley all of a sudden. But he had his kind of goofy early 80s moments. before settling into that Boys of Summer, End of the Innocence stuff. Here we had Dirty Laundry. Pretty ridiculous. Number six, Joe Jackson's Steppin' Out.
Love that song.
That's a good one. I didn't realize that got all the way up into the top 10. Number five, this is a horrible, stupid song. The Girl Is Mine by Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
Ugh.
Just the worst. Let's move on. Number four, Lionel Richie, Truly. This is an early solo hit for Lionel Richie, right? Just like
beautiful song.
It's lovely, sure. Just like Don Henley is, you know, coming out of the Eagles. Here's Lionel stepping out, Joe Jackson style, from the Commodores. And here he is with Truly. And man, this was only the beginning, of course. You know, Lionel would go on to just rule the 80s, as did Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates are at number three with Maneater.
Good times.
Also goofy.
Yes.
It's a good song, but it's also ridiculous. But there it is. Number two, here's a good one. Cornflake, Laura Branigan, Gloria.
Yeah, that was huge.
I love Laura Branigan. I miss Laura Branigan.
Me too.
That girl could sing. And here she is with Gloria. And finally, number one, I said this was a goofy list. We've hit several goofy songs already. They were not any goofier than at number one, Cornflake, it's Tony Basil, Mickey.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Smeared lipstick for everyone.
Here come the cheerleaders, all piled on top of each other. Is this a goofy enough list for you, Cornflake?
It's a little off the wall.
I mean, we might as well have a number one song by Eddie Deason.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.